The first reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 19 to 24. And this is on, if you're looking at the Bibles in the pews, this is on page 1227 of the Bibles in front of you. So 1 John 3, 19 to 24. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Thanks be to God. To verse 40, and this is on page 991, if you're following on the Bibles in the seats. So Matthew 22, verses 34 to verse 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Gavin.
Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be in time. It's easy.
So the Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love," from the 1960s, has resonances which touch a chord when the city names of Manchester and London in recent months come to mind. From the widespread response to the horror, hate and tragedy of the attacks, perhaps their song title could more accurately read now, "What we all need is love." Heartfelt hopes expressed in the wake of devastating happenings contend to continue only to where memory and the expressed energies are able to sustain their momentum. Busyness of life, coping with general ups and downs, cultural background ties, can creep in and gradually dissipate those hopes of a cohesive society. Where is help to come from in sustaining those hopes expressed after the devastating effects of determined attackers and suicide bombers. There have been calls for more policing, more intelligence personnel, greater passport control. Such could well contribute in making society safer. But perhaps we could add a deeper question, that of the heart, in pursuing and sustaining the hopes expressed. In today's two readings, the heart response is not only highlighted and commanded by God and by Jesus, but their words are given greater significance when spoken as a divine command. And St. John, in his epistle, underlines that, adding significant insights which we should look at, but a bit later on. In English, we have just the one word for love, which depends on other words and actions to give the meaning desired. In the New Testament, written in the Greek of the time, we have two words for love, philia, brotherly love, whereas agapeo is of God's love, love from God and to God. Agapeo is unique to the Bible, and it is the characteristic word for love in Christianity, and its use, its only use, is about God's love and love for God. When we hear expressed, all you need is love, or what we need is love, being rooted for, as heard from many on the television broadcasts and in the press, what is being expressed is basically a form of filial, or brotherly or community love, with the appropriate shades of caring that were added. Caring, fostering togetherness, welcoming, a standing jointly for those expressed hopes in the face of those who would despoil and destroy regardless of the ages of their victims. But how is it to be sustained in reality? When it is put, there is another stepping stone to be embraced in the pursuit of lasting love and change. There is a distinct air in society and media that in its advanced 21st century, God talk is not seen as relevant, having become an outmoded concept belonging to an earlier age, the roots of which from the first and second centuries AD in the popular mind have virtually been disproved, based, as they see it, on doubtful sources, which can be therefore dismissed. So our 21st century society tends to go from painful crises to the next crisis, seemingly unwilling to embrace that step of a lasting love which comes through the love and grace of God, by which to address and sustain its deepest hopes. It thereby misses out on the profound changes that agapeo, love of God, can bring and has brought to people in ushering in, which that love has brought to people in ushering in civilizations where previously there had been tribalism and fears. The love of God and its shades of grace are first found 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ in the five Old Testament books of Moses called the Law. This love of God, agapeo, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It also opened our service this morning. These words are known by the Jewish people as the Shema and opens their worship every Sabbath in the synagogues. The shades of grace in this verse are first that the love God commands is divine and as such has the power to truly enable love that it decrees. That's an important thing to note. Another shade of grace is that it expresses the love that God has for his people. Thus it gives to them a unique relationship obtainable nowhere else nor in any other way. Thirdly, a further shade of grace coming with his love is his own identification with all who respond. He makes himself available in that love so that they may not just believe in him, but know him. And fourthly, to know assuredly that he knows them individually and together as a people he loves. The insights of these words reveal that love is to be total both ways. It's not something optional. A whole being response is required of us, for that is how God's love is towards us. Linked to it radically, which was stated by Jesus in today's gospel, is the other command and shade of grace from Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Rabbi Nachmanides of Spain in the 1200s caught the vision, writing, one should place no limitations on love of neighbor, but love to an abundance of good for his fellow beings, as he does for himself. This divine command from Jesus to love neighbor has the same shades of grace as the command to love God in Deuteronomy 6:5. It is not dependent on our best efforts. As the shades of grace indicate, God is there with us, alongside us, enabling and inspiring and sustaining us. These will bring profound change where they are truly embraced individually and by any society. Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, in response to the Pharisees, dramatically underlines love of God and love of neighbor from Deuteronomy 5 and Leviticus 19 as the two greatest commandments. God's grace is such that Jesus divinely linked love of neighbor to love of God. The Jewish rabbis, however, counted 613 commands of God in the books of the law, and their ongoing rabbinical debating was to argue and argue about which one was the greatest. Professor F.F. Bruce says, Jesus, in linking love of God and love of neighbor together, made them an unassailable double command of unreserved love towards God. Tom Wright, I think humorously, points to verse 40 in Matthew 22, where Jesus concludes, all the law and the prophets, that is the Old Testament, hang on these two commandments. It led Tom Wright to observe of the other 611 statutes, they are but footnotes to the two great commandments. And that Jesus' reply to the Pharisees' testing of him in Matthew 22 is meant to strike us as game, set, and match. That kind of comment, in that Jesus was now teaching them just what the true direction of God's law was. Their debating being of no great importance. These two great commandments, underlined by Jesus, are thus of consummate importance for all our lives, letting us into the depths and shades of God's grace, which underpin true Christian faith. He thereby removes any idea that they are optional. So we turn to St. John in his epistle from 1 John 3, who adds three important insights for us to know, reflect on, and respond to. Firstly, in 1 John 3:23, the love of God is supremely linked to his Son, Jesus Christ. And I've put on screen not just the Matthew 2:22 version of what Jesus says, but John's writing of it. And John writes, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Note, from the citing of these two great commandments in Matthew 22, St. John rephrases the first part to underline there is a response to make, to believe, that is, to trust, to have faith in the name of Jesus Christ, and thereby to love one another. John Stott cites verse 23 as an early credo statement, adding importantly, for the first time in this epistle, faith and agapo love are brought together, showing them as inseparable. He points out there is a significant difference in the grammar tenses used of the words believe and love for readers to note and engage with. Belief or faith in the name of Jesus Christ is written in the grammatical tense of making a decisive act or decision, whereas love of one another is in a tense in expressing a continuing attitude that has no ending. To believe, which is to have faith in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is to make a deliberate choice to love God through his Son who laid down his life for us. I wonder if that's a word of invitation from God for someone this morning to respond personally to. Talk to me afterwards, if you will. To love one another is a continuing attitude of the heart, mind, and soul, which will require ongoing God-given strength of committed Christian character. Shades of grace in enabling all of this is given through the faith responses we make to him. So believing, faith, and love for St. John are two criteria keys of being a Christian. Secondly, those insights will help us understand in verse 19 that being in Christ, who laid down his life for us, underlines that we can know we are of the truth. This word truth is the second insight from St. John in this epistle this morning. He's already used it 25 times in his gospel, in which he records Jesus saying, "I am the truth." So believing faith, love of God and love of neighbor, and knowing we are of the truth all come together in Jesus, in which we are being given God's confidence that in spite of our human nature, that he mentions in verses 20 and 21, God is working in us, redeeming our hearts, redeeming our lives, that we may, verse 22, obey him and prayerfully do what pleases him. Thirdly, in verse 24, St. John declares, those who obey God's commands live in him and he in them. Thus his presence in us makes a divine difference. For we are not on our own, and as a further assurance, verse 24b, the second part, we can actually know God's presence in us by the Holy Spirit he gives, and John says, which he gave to us. And that Spirit is the Spirit mentioned in his gospel, chapters 15 and 16, who is the Spirit of truth. John Stott again, in all these verses, notes, St. John urges upon his readers the necessity of living in the truth of God and in the truth God gives us in Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. God's truth, he writes, can only characterize our lives when our character originates in the truth and the faith God commands and invites us to make wholehearted response to. And so, the agapo love of God, therefore, is that godly step and dynamic which faith tells us God can bring profound change and direction to the hopes expressed in our times by so many people. How will they be convinced and to know of it and to want it? Because right now they are quite skeptical. God's call upon our lives as his people is to live out his love and truth, that the shades of his grace may be bright and visible within us and upon us, able to be seen by all who are needing that lasting hope. And that, verse 22, finally, is something to ask and to pray for. So God grant you, grant us all the heart and the desire to effectively live in his love.